If we turn now to the chapter that was read, the book of Jude, just the one chapter, and the words on the face sheet you will find at verse 24. Jude, verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen. Now to him who is able to keep you, and so on. Jude started off by wishing for them and writing a way, no doubt, of a desire and a prayer for them that mercy and peace and love would increase in their lives and in their spiritual experience. But then he goes on to warn them about the enemies that are to spiritual life. If we're going to live the Christian life the way the Bible calls us to, then we're going to realize that not everything is friendly toward living the Christian life. If you are lukewarm in terms of the world, it may seem a bit easier. You'll not meet the same difficulties and opposition and ridicule and being ostracized the same way. But the more that you as a Christian are committed to Christ, and the more that His grace and Holy Spirit works in you, then the more likely it is that you're going to meet with situations that will test your faith and it may prove a bit difficult for you. So Jude has told them this, and it paints what might indeed seem to be a very dark and bleak picture. And we may say, well, what is the prospect? The future looks dark and gloomy, and it could develop into a somewhat depressing kind of situation. But he doesn't stop with that. In verse 17, the caption at the top of this division of the Bible in this verse now here says, a call to persevere. We're led into encouragements as to how it is that we are to live our lives, building ourselves up in the most holy faith, keeping ourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of the Lord Jesus, and so on. So that what is on your side as a Christian this year is greater than what is against you, whatever it may be, whatever the circumstances or the details of your situation are. You can rest assured of this: if you commit yourself to God, trust in Him, that although things may not work out exactly the way that you thought or perhaps even hoped they would, that they will work out for the good, because God is the God who loves and cares for His people. So having painted this dark scene to them and then called them to persevere, to press on with living the Christian life tenaciously, he then draws their attention to this. Who can help me? Who alone can enable me or enable you to live the Christian life? We obviously need more than our own limited, imperfect resources. The world doesn't have in it what we need. But here the Holy Spirit, through Jude, tells us, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. God is described for us to our advantage, to encourage us. So I'd like us to think, first of all, as we look at this passage, I'm going to refer to some other parts of the Bible as well, obviously, but to start off with this here, how God is described. Now to him who is able, and then it goes on and tells us what God is able to do. There are things I'm not able to do, and No doubt there are things you are not able to do either. But God is not like that. God is able. God is able to do the most extraordinary things, things that are beyond mere human ability. And the wonderful encouragement for me and for you is this, that here the Holy Spirit is actually addressing the greatest area of your need. Now you may think the greatest area of your need may be social, it may be financial, it may be some other family situation, and all of these can be so important and be pressing in upon you. But the greatest area of your need, and the area of your greatest need, whatever way you want to put it, is your soul. Your relationship with God and sin and Satan. Where you are in the spiritual, I mean, that's no doubt why in the opening part of the letter to the Ephesians, the Holy Spirit inspires Paul to write about this great blessing that has been bestowed upon those Christians in Ephesus. He has blessed us in the heavenly places with spiritual blessings. He doesn't say, well, he's given us food, and he's given us clothing, and he's given us beds to lie on, and all very important. But that's not what he's talking. He's talking about spiritual blessings. So here we come, and we're confronted with this, we're encouraged with this. God, he's talking to him who is able, the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. It was always best to begin with God. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. It's one of my favorite verses when I think about difficulties and situations and trying things. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I've disappointed people. People have disappointed me. No doubt every one of us is the same. We're met with disappointment, or we've disappointed other people. It prompts you to build up your hopes, and they get dashed to pieces. But when you come to God, you'll find one who, if you seek to know him and to walk with him, he'll never disappoint you. And that's why you see it says here, after Jude has painted the dark picture, and he calls him to persevere, and then he says, now, verse 24, begins with this little word, now, after all that we've seen and all we've heard and all that would be so burdensome on us, false teachers, people who are misrepresenting God's grace, people who are even denying the biblical claims, we may say, of Jesus Christ. What are we going to do? Where are we going to look? Now, after all of that, now. Here it is. He is able. Here's the final, here's the sufficient word, information for you to enrich you, to equip you, to live the Christian life this year. You don't need any other resources but what's in God. You'll find it adequate. What does it say to us then about God? It says this. God is able to keep you. To keep you from stumbling. Now, that is good news when you discover, realize, you cannot keep yourself. The moment we begin to think we can keep ourselves, we're on the slippery slope. God didn't intend that we should keep ourselves in that sense. We are so made by God, and we're so dependent on God, and sin has created such havoc and destruction and damnation even into our lives. We're incapable of keeping ourselves. So this is it's good news that when we cannot keep ourselves, God can. From sin, He can break the power of sin. He can cancel the penalty due to sin. So that where sin before was reigning in our lives, that it gets broken and grace and the Spirit of God comes and we're changed and we become God's people and God's children in the world. And then from Satan, you don't need to have a very wide Christian experience to recognize that Satan is real. The powers of darkness are real. In fact, the Bible warns us we're to resist the devil. He goes about as a roaring lion. Not to befriend us, but to destroy us, to bring us down. And we need to be kept. Well, he is able, God is able to keep us. In fact, it's God's commitment is to do that. Just a little bit earlier on in the first letter of Peter, we have this expression, this statement about God's commitment. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. God is committed to that. Even when we ourselves may be careless and not as committed as we ought to be, that God in his grace and kindness is committed. And so it becomes my prayer and urge it to become yours as well. If you don't have it already, but persevere with it. Lord, keep me, for I trust in you. Lord, keep me. Now you've heard the story of reference to the tombstone, just one word on it, kept. We need to be kept. God is able to keep us. And we sang there, but going out and in, he'll keep you. He'll have his hand upon you. But it's not just, as if that is not enough and so wonderful in itself, here is something that's even more astonishing. So uplifting to present you blameless. Now you can imagine, say a person gets into such a mess, and you're able to put the brakes on. So there's no further kind of deterioration. There's no further going further down. But to so work to recover and to restore and to present the person blameless, without blemish in God's sight, well, that's a big job. That's a big task. Who can do that? He is able to do that. In fact, that's the very thing he is committed to doing. That they should be conformed to the image of his Son. In my spirit, I'm going to be perfectly like Jesus. Are you? If you're a Christian, a believer, you are. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now you may think, wow, how can that be? When I think of the battles about sin and myself, my mind, my spirit, my attitude, different things that so defame the Christian character. And yet here is God. He touched me and he made me whole. That's the kind of God. He is able. It was the prayer of Jesus. Sanctify them. That's why he died. Not just that we might have peace with God. And not just we might have this hope, perhaps vague at times, but at least this hope that we're going to heaven, that we should be made prepared for it. We should be worked upon and worked within by the Holy Spirit to change us, to make us, as it were, by grace, fit for heaven. And it says here, to present you, to bring them forward, it means. Like show and tell. The children know what show and tell is. You go to school and you've got something on you. You show it and you tell about it. Well, I say with reverence, here's Jesus Christ. Show and tell. Behold, I and the children whom you have given me. In that day when he makes up his jewels,
It's going to be with joy, it says here, in the presence of His glory, with great joy.
I came across this morning Matthew Henry's very succinct little comment about this. Where there is no sin, there's no sorrow. Where there is perfection of holiness, there is perfection of joy.
You know, so often our joy, even as Christians here, our joy gets disrupted and even destroyed because of sin. A sinful thought that's entertained, a sinful word, whatever it is, and it shatters that joy and destroys that peace. But not so in heaven. He shall present them blameless. I just want to go on a very quick tangent a wee while here, just because you can do this kind of study for yourself, get a concordance out, and you do this quite easily. But seven times in the New Testament we're told about God, He is able. If you want a printout of it, I'll get it for you later on, but I'll print them off here. I'm going to read them, and each of them has got to do with spiritual things. That shows God's focus, and that shows the attention I should give and you should give to this. What's God's priority? When I heard that news from Morton Fox for me the other day, and I heard that, wow, I thought, my, what is life? What are my priorities? It kind of puts things in perspective. And it pulls you up and says, well, you think you've got problems. You think you've got issues in your life that put you down. Well, look at this kind of thing. But He is able. What are these seven? Well, first of all, let me read this to you. And just take a note how each of them is referring to some spiritual or aspect of spiritual life and health and progress. Romans 16, verse 25. Now to Him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ. The gospel message. The good news of Christ's grace, suffering, dying, ascending, and intercession. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. God, who is able to make all grace abound to you, that you will abound in every good work. There's no license given, no liberty given to you or to me that we should be inactive as far as Christ is concerned. Grace is given that we would abound in every good work. God is able to make all grace abound. The third one, Ephesians 3:20. To Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or think, according to His power that is at work within us. 2 Timothy 1:12. I know that He is able to keep what I have entrusted to Him for that day. Hebrews 2:18. He Himself suffered when He was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. See, it's always a reference to our spiritual health and our spiritual relationship with God. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore He is able to save completely or to the uttermost those who come to God through Him. Finally, number seven, the one that we just read here. To Him who is able to keep you from falling. God is able. I don't have to try to live the Christian life just with my own New Year resolutions. You don't have to do it either. In fact, it's very foolish to think you'll do it that way. But depending on God who is able, God who is sovereign, God who is in charge, as we say, of everything, that He's the one who is able. We need to commit ourselves to Him, and that this year, now, to Him who is able, will give the glory. Let's pray.
Eternal God and ever-blessed Heavenly Father, we want to give honor and praise and glory to Your name. want to thank you that although we are imperfect creatures, yet the work toward perfection is going on. And we want to be able to say, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want to thank you, Father, that even at the beginning of this year, you can help us. You can enable us, because you are able, to bring us to the point where Joshua was when he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Pray that Jesus Christ, your Son who came and lived and died and rose again, that he would get honor and glory and praise. We recognize his dominion and his authority in our lives today, and if we're spared for tomorrow, and tomorrow's tomorrow as well, our going out and coming in would be a walking with God. There's no better place for us to be than no better company, no better journey to be on, no better destination, that we should come at last to that haven of rest. Lord, we commit ourselves and ask for your care, a sense of your presence and your love and your interest in us, that we, by your Holy Spirit, would have that interest in Jesus to shape our own lives. In his name we give thanks. Amen.